We went from a great big board to a little wee one in order to be able to troubleshoot, because we think that's what the problem was, why the mics were kicking out. The difficulty is, with a smaller board, we only have one volume control. So the volume that controls the speaker out there for you is the same one that controls the speakers on the platform. I'm not used to hearing myself. It's kind of weird. Hopefully this works. And if this works, then it is a much less expensive repair. And so we're pretty excited about that and hoping that that is indeed what's going on so that we can get that taken care of. But we're hopefully doing the last troubleshooting this morning. Couple of things to bring to your attention. We are putting together a directory. Our directory is, pictures this big, name, address, phone number, so that we can kind of learn one another's names. And we've got a lot of newer folks and folks that have been here for a while, and to be able to get each other's names. So if you haven't had your picture taken and filled out the little form, in the choir room, which is straight across from here, get your picture taken. Joby Dye is there. She's taking pictures. It's also digital in format, and so if you want to take a picture yourself and email it to us, that's fine. We can do it either way. We do need to get that taken care of so that we can mass produce the directory to be able to hand it out on Palm Sunday morning. On the windows in the entranceway is actually a copy of that, and there's a whole lot of little red things that say pics. Those are folks that haven't gotten their picture taken yet. Now, if you look really closely at that, you'll notice that the pastor here has not had his picture taken yet. So you're not alone, but we do need to get that done as soon as possible. And so if you'd like to be part of that, would encourage you to get your picture taken or have it taken at home and send it to us email this coming week. I'm really excited about some things that are happening. We have some partying that we're going to be doing on Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. On Palm Sunday, we have some folks that will be joining the church, and so we're excited about that. And the directories will be handed out, so you'll know everybody's name by Easter Sunday morning. Then on Easter Sunday morning, we have some baptisms that are going to take place. The child dedication is going to take place. It's going to be two Sundays of party. And man, this pastor's really looking forward to that. It's just going to be a blast, and would encourage you to be keeping those things in prayer. And if you're interested in being baptized, please see me. The sooner, the better, that we can pull that together. If you're interested in knowing what we believe regarding baptism, I put together a short video on YouTube a couple of months ago, and you can go to our YouTube channel and kind of go down through, and you'll see it. It's labeled baptism, and I can watch that. It's about a 10-minute video, kind of goes over this is what we believe on baptism. So put that out there as well. Easter flowers, there is a little form in your bulletins. Now, one of the things that's different this year is there's no color. I mean, you don't get to pick which color you want. With everything going on with the pandemic, they can't guarantee us anything specific on colors. So it's just, if you want a flower, you'll get one. If you pick yours up right after the service, you'll get a choice. If you wait, you'll get what's left. Just to know that ahead of time, and we'll do our best regarding that, but we can't guarantee those this year. Also, a couple of other things. As the weather gets nicer, I kind of blew that one for my promo this morning. But we are beginning to look towards summer, and one of the things that happen early in summer, not too long after Easter, is our softball team. So if you'd like to hear about some things with our softball team, we play at the Foursquare Church under the lights. And so, yeah, we get to play under the lights with all the glory and the inability to see the ball that goes along with that. It's lots of fun. But we play generally one night a week. Recently, they've been double headers, and so keep that in mind. But if you're interested in that, you can just talk to me. That would probably be the easiest. You can see Jim Mills. He's involved with that as well. But begin the process of thinking through, is this something that you would like to do to yourself? We have a blast. It's a great time, and we welcome any of it. It is a men's league, and so keep that in mind as well. The last thing I have is in your bulletin, there is a Camp Odioquia announcement. The various weeks of camp at Camp O. The second and third graders do a Thursday, Friday, Saturday stay at camp, and that's on there. And then fourth through sixth, and seven through nine, they have two different weeks that they can go. And you can pick one or the other. If you really want to, you can go both weeks with your age group. But know this, if you decide to do that, it is the same program both weeks. Just keep that in mind. It'll be fun. It'll be a little bit different because the dynamic of how many kids are there plays into that. But know it's the same program both weeks. And so what we're finding is a lot of vacations and different things, and some of the kids weren't able to go to camp because of when the weeks fell, and we thought if we separated out, maybe more kids would be able to go. And so we're trying it this year, looking forward to it. I think there's a lot of fun. We as a church, we will send our kids to camp. So if you are part of our congregation, this is where you attend, we'll send your kids to camp. You sign up and you just say, the church will pay your way and we'll take care of it. It's $300 per kid to go and we'll take care of that. We think it's so important for our kids to have a camping experience that we'll foot the bill. So please, if they give you any trouble on that, just give me a call. We have a good relationship with the camp. I serve on the trustee board. It won't be a problem. And so very excited about that and looking forward to church camp for the summer and everything that goes on with that. If you want more information, you can see me. You can go to the website. It's www.odioquia.org and take you there. But there's links and everything. But it's a great, great camp. Okay. Now then, we have a special celebration this morning. One of our members of our congregation had a birthday. Now, it happened to be yesterday, but it was pretty significant. She turned 95 years old. Now, I'm not going to tell you how old she is because that would be rude. But we want to sing happy birthday. Dorothy Slater is with us, and her whole family is there. It's just exciting for them to make the extra effort to be here with us this morning. So let's sing happy birthday to Dorothy. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dorothy. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Dorothy. It's so good to see all your family. I know they've traveled in from all over the place to get here on this snowy Sunday morning. And so keep that in mind as well. Okay. Prayer requests, just remember, want to pray especially for Mountain Vision this morning. Each month we kind of pick a mission that we give to financially, and Mountain Vision is the recipient of that. John Wood, who's up here with us this morning, he kind of coordinates Mountain Vision and some of the ministry that they do. They do a lot of stuff at Christmas, but it's a ministry that goes all year long. So let's just take a moment and we'll pray for Mountain Vision. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Mountain Vision and all the things you're doing through the ministry there. There's so many people that find themselves in difficult ways and in Appalachia. I mean, the devastation continues to just be severe. And we just ask, Lord, that you would be working through Mountain Vision to not only get people food and basic necessities of life, but you are the one that makes us who we are. And Lord, as they go sharing you. So Lord, may they see you and may they receive you, that we might all be together for all eternity. But Lord, be with Mountain Vision, guide and direct their path, be with their leader, John, and with all the various individuals that are part of that. It takes so many volunteers to make this work. Lord, just touch them, each and every one, and lift them up. And may your blessing continue to be upon each and every one. In your name we pray. Amen. Under the prayer request side, I have two. Would ask you to be with Missy. This is John's daughter's mother-in-law. Passed away this past week, and would ask that you keep that family in your prayers, and also the family of Gary Arnold. Gary passed away this past week. He had been sick for some time, but things kind of went pretty quickly over the last month, and so keep that family in your prayers also. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, we gather here in this place to bring you glory. We gather with excitement for, Lord, you continue to work within our midst and do things that are even far beyond our imagination. And Lord, we just come acknowledging that you are truly a great and gracious God. And we just ask, Lord, that you would touch and minister to each and every one of our hearts, that you would draw close to us and lift us up. And Lord, just fan into flame that burning desire for you and to know more of you. And Lord, just walk with us as we worship. And Lord, just lift us up. And Lord, we think of those that are struggling. And Lord, this time of year, and we think spring's coming, and then all of a sudden it's not. And yet again, before the week's out, it'll be nice again. And this turbulence with weather often enters into our hearts, and there's turbulence in just living life. And we just ask that you would draw close to your people and give us hope and stand beside us, because, Lord, we just need you close. We think of those families that have lost loved ones. And Lord, we just ask that you would minister to their hearts, that the Comforter would come. And Lord, lift them up and stand beside them day after day. Because Lord, it is a process of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And we need your presence to give us hope in the midst of the struggle. Continue to be with and walk with us. We ask, Lord, that you would grant us opportunities to share your love with those that we meet. We thank you for being with us this day and all these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we stand together. We'll welcome one another and have our hand of fellowship. Fist bumps, elbows, shake hands, smile or nod.
Good morning.
Hey, we're going to start with it's in your hymnal on page 31 if you want to follow along. I exalt thee. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. I exalt thee. exalt thee, O Lord. I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord. Next will be, I believe, in a hill called Mount Calvary. There are things as we travel this earth's shifting sands that transcends all the reasons of man. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in our hands. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. I believe that the Christ who was slain on that cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely. A new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross. I believe that this life with its great mysteries surely someday will come to an end. But faith will conquer the darkness and death and will lead me at last to my friend. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross.
You may be seated. If the kids want to come on down this morning. Yeah, somebody will find it. Okay. We all done? Now, this morning, I want to talk about who is the tallest here today? Anna. And who is the shortest?
Paige.
Are you the shortest? Yeah. You see, and the rest of us, all of us at one time, we're the shortest. And, you know, I remember back when I was your age, I was not the tallest. I just wasn't. And I had to do all kinds of things to be able to see. Now, you tell me if you've ever done any of these. Have you ever had to sit on your feet so you could be a little taller so you could see? Have you had to do that? Yeah. Yeah, I remember doing that. I remember when I was probably close to some of your age, I would actually stand on the pew so that I could see. And sometimes, even then, I wasn't tall enough. It was a bummer. Yeah, we like to be tall, but sometimes it's good to be short. Sometimes, and it has been very, very convenient to be short. Have you ever fallen down? Yeah. When short people fall down, do you know what we do? We get up. When really tall people fall down, you know what they do? Cry. Because the taller we are, the longer it takes us to get to the ground, and we actually fall harder. That hurts. It's tough the taller you get. So sometimes it's nice to be short. Now, I want to talk to you today about a young man who wasn't very tall. Let's see. This says I am 3'7" when I'm sitting on my feet. And at 3'7", that's probably pretty close to the height of this man. His name was Zacchaeus. Have you ever heard the story of Zacchaeus? Yeah, some have. Zacchaeus was a short guy, and he was a tax collector. And one of the things that tax collectors do is they not only got the taxes, but they would overcharge people so they could make more money. And Zacchaeus wasn't very well liked. And he wanted to see Jesus. And so when he was trying to see Jesus, it would be very difficult for him, because he was short, to get to the place where Jesus was, because there was all these people around him. So Zacchaeus had an idea. He said, I'm going to climb up in the tree. That way when Jesus comes by, I'll be up in the tree and I'll get a chance to see him. So he did just that. And Jesus came walking by, and he did something crazy. He saw Zacchaeus in the tree, and he goes, Zacchaeus, dude. Okay, this might be a little bit different than the biblical interpretation, but he says, Zacchaeus, man, what are you doing in the tree? And Zacchaeus, in so many words, said, I wanted to see you. And Jesus said, great, I'm going to your house. I'm going to go to your house and hang out with you today. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool to have Jesus come to your house? And all the parents got scared all of a sudden. Because you know what? It'd be a little scary for Jesus to come to our house, because Jesus is perfect, and who knows what might happen. But Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house. You see, it doesn't matter whether we're tall or short or someplace in the middle. God loves us just the same. So let's thank God that he loves us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that it doesn't matter how tall we are. It doesn't matter whether we are gifted at school and do really well or whether we struggle. None of these things matter. You just love us because we're your creation, and you've put us here. So help us, Lord, to understand your love for us and accept that, and then share that love with everybody else. Be with us this day. Amen. Okay, you can go. Okay, awesome. Okay, this morning we're going to talk about the story of Joseph in Scripture. And apparently I can't walk over there. And one of the things that pastors cannot do is forget certain things in the service. So at this time, I forget, we didn't have special music this morning, but we do want to take up the offering. And so if our ushers would please come forward. Well, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you are truly a great and gracious God. And Lord, we thank you for meeting us right where we are. And we just ask, Lord, that Lord, you would accept this offering as we know that you will. And Lord, that you would assist us to use it for the furthering of your kingdom, to draw us closer in our relationship with you, and Lord, to share with the world the great news of the gospel. So Lord, just continue to walk with us each and every day. And Lord, watch over us. Amen. Well, we'll try it again. Did I forget anything? Okay. It was really cute. There's a lot of things that I get to see up here that you don't. And when I went to get started towards my sermon this morning, just before the offering, Nelson was down here waving his envelope. All of a sudden, I remembered. Wonderful thing. Well, we've been talking about kind of walking in the wilderness, in those dry times, those difficult times in our life, and we've looked at some different things. We talked about speaking about a testing that takes place in the wilderness, and then having patience in the wilderness, and that God provides wisdom when we wait. And this week, I want to talk about the pain that we experience in the wilderness. And to kind of look at that, I want to share a verse from Revelation 21:4. It says, "He will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." While we're here, things will be difficult. I'm not making light of that. It is just a reality. Things will be difficult. But God says that this is just for a time. Now, we don't know how long that is, but we know that it is for a time. So it has a beginning and an end. And so in that difficult time, in that walk through the struggles in life, we have a God that stands beside us to give us hope. While we walk in the wilderness, God doesn't leave us alone. He stands with us and uses that for the furthering of his kingdom. Now, in order to kind of give us a little more background on this, our story in Genesis chapter 37, verses 12 through 27, we're going to read a part of the story of Joseph. Now, Joseph was the favorite son. He was, well, without going into a lot of detail, he was the favorite. He got a fancy coat. He was doted on by his father. Life was wonderful. All of the other brothers were out tending the sheep and doing the hard work, and Joseph hangs around the house. And so the day came when Joseph was sent out to his brothers to make sure that they were okay. It's not that Dad didn't like the rest of the family. He just liked Joseph a little better. And so he sends them out, and that's kind of where we pick up the story this morning. Genesis chapter 37, beginning with verse 12, it says, "Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, 'As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I'm going to send you to them.' 'Oh, very well,' he replied. So he said to him, 'Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me.' Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. Now when Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, 'What are you looking for?' And he replied, 'I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?' 'They have moved on from here,' the man answered. 'I heard them say, let's go to Dothan.' So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. 'Here comes that dreamer,' they said to each other. 'Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams.' When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. 'Let's not take his life,' he said. 'Don't shed any blood. Throw him into this cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him.' Reuben said this to rescue him from him and then take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, that ornate robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern, and the cistern was empty. There wasn't any water in it. And as they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. And Judah said to his brothers, 'What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood.' His brothers agreed." May the Lord bless the reading, hearing of his word. What a sequence of events. Pretty amazing. Joseph gets sold into slavery, into Egypt. Things turn for the worst, and it's just a roller coaster ride from there for Joseph. I mean, he gets sold into slavery. He's bought. He works his way up through the household, and it becomes prominent in Potiphar's home. And then Potiphar's wife accuses him of trying to get way too close to her. And so then he's thrown into jail, and he starts back out at the bottom. And again, he begins to work his ranks up through and becomes trusted within the jail. And eventually the Pharaoh dreams dreams, and then Joseph ends up interpreting those dreams, and he becomes second only to Pharaoh. We need to look at this story a little bit and understand that Joseph had a lot of ups and downs. Could you imagine? I mean, I don't know. I had an older brother and a younger sister growing up. And there were times whenever, you know, I kind of thought maybe throwing my younger sister into a cistern was a pretty good idea. You know, and even if my older brother would have swooped in to try and rescue her, think about this. I wanted to kill her, and my brother says, "Oh, no, let's just leave her in a cistern so she can slowly die a painful, agonizing death." Now, I could have been convinced of that. You see, so many times we kind of begin to lose track of everything that's going on, and when difficulty comes, we want to jump on the train and run with that as hard as we can rather than really trying to see what God is doing. So this morning I want to talk about three things to kind of help us out when it comes to the pain that's in our lives. The first thing is that our pain may be caused by somebody else. Now, in the story of Joseph, the pain was caused by somebody else. Joseph didn't do anything really to become the favorite. It just kind of happened. And even all he did was share with his family the things that God was speaking to him, and they ended up getting him in trouble. I don't think, and from what I can read there in the scriptures, I don't get the feeling that Joseph was going around taking his gift, his dream, and the things that God was doing for him and poking his brothers with that stick. It's just his father doted on him, and he was dad's favorite. Now, I don't know about you. I've not really been the favorite. I've told my parents ever since I can remember that I'm their favorite son, hoping that someday that would kind of wear off and become true. My parents are slow learners. God bless them. But they really never played favoritism at all. But for whatever reason, Joseph was the favorite. But Joseph really didn't deserve what his brothers wanted to do for him. To take his life, to sell him into slavery, to make his life miserable. Sometimes in the pain of living our lives, our pain comes from outside. And it's thrust upon us. We didn't really do anything. We don't necessarily deserve it. It just comes, and we're confronted with it, and we have to work with and work through it. And there's some amazing things that I see here that Joseph did of the pain that was thrust upon him. And it's just amazing to me because Joseph kind of had a mindset that changed everything in his life. So the second thing I want to talk about is that how we view our pain really matters. You see, Joseph saw the pain, and he didn't accept it necessarily. He was more along the lines of how can I use this? How can I walk through this valley? How can I endure the difficult time to get to the place that's better? That the pain was temporary. And Joseph even said to his brothers, after all of this occurred, that what you meant for evil, God used for good. And I think so many times we as Christians, we get caught up in the pain and then we wallow in it. We embrace the pain, we accept the pain, and then we want to live because that pain becomes familiar, and we, in so many words, and there's psychological analysis that goes along with it, but we begin, this is normal. And then if it's missing, we actually bring the pain back. We won't do the things that we need to do so that the pain can be set aside. We embrace it. It becomes part of who we are. And then we won't let it go. Joseph never accepted that. What his brothers meant for evil, God could use it for good. Now, the reason that Joseph was able to do that was because of his relationship with God. His relationship with God was such that whatever I have to walk through, that's fine. God, you're in control and not me. So take me where I need to go. There's something special when we begin to understand how we view our pain matters. And Joseph decided if he was going to be a slave, he wanted to be the best slave he could be. And so in his relationship with God, that became solid. And so the joy that's within his heart always worked out in everything that he did. Now, have you ever been around happy people? Don't you hate them? I mean, we like being around people that are upbeat, that are happy. We don't always understand, why are you so happy all the time? I mean, there are times whenever it can almost be an irritant because they're upbeat and happy. Now, sometimes that happens because there are individuals that are just extroverts and they can't help themselves. But most of us have to work at it. Most of us, if we're happy all the time, it's because of a relationship with God that makes a difference within our hearts. There is joy that wells up even in the midst of the pain. I remember when individuals that I dearly loved have gone on to their eternal reward. And I know the mixed emotions that were within my heart because I was happy for them because they got to go to heaven first, but I was a little bit mad because they got to go to heaven first. And part of that is that I'm hurting, but I'm happy for them. So sometimes there's joy in our hearts as tears run down our face. Yes. See, in the painful difficulties of life, God comes and meets us where we are. And he doesn't allow us to stay there. He says, come a little closer. But I'm a slave. Well, that's okay. Come a little closer anyway. Well, will I stop being a slave if I come closer? Well, no, I'm not necessarily doing that. But I want you to come closer anyway. Are we willing to come closer to God regardless of what it costs? Because when we draw closer to God, we become the people that he really wants us to be. You see, and then we're more focused on God than we are our surroundings, and it is amazing how much our surroundings change. Now, I'd love to tell you the story of Joseph eventually all works out and he becomes second only to Pharaoh in Egypt and has great power. But all along the way, he was stripped from his family. He was actually sent away from his family, and that pain never went away. Whether he was a slave, whether he was in Potiphar's house, whether he was in the jail, or whether he was in Pharaoh's court, that desire, yearning to be with his family never change. We need to develop that concept of it really doesn't matter where I am, I'm not going to finish here. And we begin the process of looking down the road and working to that end, whatever it might happen to be, knowing that if we stay where we are, the pain will never change. I've never been clinically depressed. I don't have any tools. But I know this. When the times in my life where the clouds have rolled over, when things have become very, very difficult, my tendency is to withdraw. I go to my bedroom. I don't want to come out. I watch TV in the basement. I begin to retreat. And what I found is when I find myself doing that, my relationship with God's not where it needs to be. And when I'm able then to focus once again upon the God that loves me, the first thing he always tells me is that I have to move from where I am. To begin the process of coming back to people, to begin the process of coming back and allowing the people that love me, to be able to come back and allow that dynamic to once again occur. It doesn't mean that I walk into church with a big smile on my face and pretend that everything's okay when it's not. But it does mean that I walk back into church and maybe when I sit down and just be able to say, God, I'm here. I'll take this step, but this is hard. And what I found is the people of God come around us and in those times lift us up to give us hope and to work with us to not let us be and stay where we were. We need to be there for one another to understand that God will use our pain. He will use us to learn lessons so that when we see others that are sitting by themselves, we'll take the initiative to say, is everything okay? when we see those changes in personality and makeup, we'll notice that and say, hey, is everything okay? Is there anything I can do? And sometimes that means cooking a meal and stopping over. Sometimes that means just the little things in life and saying that I care. You see, how we view our pain really matters. And thirdly, this morning, we need to understand that God doesn't waste our time in the wilderness. Story of Joseph, he was in prison, he was in houses, he was a slave. All of these things take place to prepare him for what was ahead. So many times we get stuck in the little bubble where we are. We need to look and say, in the difficult times of life, what is the lesson that I need to learn to be able to get where God is wanting me to be? What lessons do I have to learn today so that when the things of tomorrow occur, I'll be prepared for them to happen, we'll be able to step right in? We do that in so many areas of our lives, but when it comes to our relationship with God, all too often, we kind of let that one slip by. If I ask you to raise your hand, how many of you have life insurance or death insurance? I mean, it depends on how you want to phrase that or look at it. Yeah, we prepare for the future financially. We prepare with retirement. We prepare in so many ways. But are we willing to be prepared when God asks us to walk through the difficult times of life? Will we allow him the privilege of leading us? It's tough. It's very, very difficult to learn the lessons in the wilderness. The reason for that is because we're in pain. But I also want to say that if we don't learn the lessons in the wilderness, it's very difficult to get out of the wilderness. And I'm wondering if maybe too many of us have been wandering in the wilderness so long we think it's home. We don't seem to be able to picture life without the pains that we currently struggle with. We're not willing to make the decisions so that we can get there. In my life, I've been faced numerous times with it would be so much easier to stay where I was than to step out. So much easier. And if that would be the case, I would be working in a strip mine in Pennsylvania today. But God said, I have something more for you. Are you willing to step away? But Lord, I'm making good money. And I was. I was in the process of buying a home. Yeah. Fix that puppy up and sell it and make money. Yeah. I mean, everything was just there. I was living with my parents and they weren't charging me rent. Everything was good. And God said, what I'd really like you to do is get rid of what you have and go to college that's going to cost a lot of money. You'll be fine. I'm like, but if I wouldn't have stepped out, I'd still be in a strip mine in Pennsylvania. And over again throughout my life, God has come and he said, look, it's time for a change. And every time he does that, it makes me a little bit nervous because to walk through the pain of the wilderness is not any fun. But each and every time as God calls and I'm willing, it's amazing what he begins to do. Just a couple of minutes when Lynn and I were talking with the leadership here 16 years ago when we were looking at coming here, and the first contacts were made, Lynn said, what do you think? And I said, there's no way God's going to take me to Worcester. We're fine. We'll walk down this road because there's got to be a lesson to be learned before he goes there. And one hoop after another. And it was like 6 months. It was not a quick process. And God said, just take another step. Take another step. And I remember when the reality kicked in that we were at the step where we were going to have to move. And I remember looking at Lynn and just, oh my goodness, what's God doing? And some of you out there are still saying, we don't know. But are we willing to be obedient unto God even in the difficult times? And I accepted the opportunity to come here, and we were really excited. We were getting ready to tell the congregation that we were making the transition. And that Sunday morning that I was announcing to the congregation that we were leaving, Lori Lee walked into church. Now, Lori was going to college down by the church that I pastored, and when she walked in, obviously she was new, and so it kind of was obvious, and so went over and chatted with her, and she goes, oh, I'm from Worcester. And I'm like, oh boy. And we chatted a little bit. She was very gracious, and it was wonderful to get to meet her, and she didn't like spill the beans. She allowed me the privilege of letting them know that we were transitioning and coming here. But all the ups and downs that occur, are we willing to walk through those difficult times? Because there's good stuff on the other end. We just got to learn the lessons to walk through. And I'll be honest, if God would have called me here first, both you and I would have run screaming into the night. But God knew what he was doing, and he put things in place. And there was lessons to be learned in the wilderness, in the difficult times, to prepare us for where we are today. What does the future hold? All kinds of fun stuff. Exactly what does it look like? I don't know. But I know this, God is calling us to join together and to move into the future. And whatever that means, and a willingness to change and adapt as we go forward. The pandemic has been, just loads of interesting stuff. But at the same time, there's been lessons that we've learned. And as we've worked with one another, there have been things that we've been able to do in the middle of it to make life better and to share Jesus with the world. I mean, last night we had a daddy-daughter dance. I mean, wow. I mean, that just blows me away. And what a fun time we were had. And the folks that were part of that, we're just so glad that they came. And it was just a great opportunity to say, we as a church, as a congregation, we love kids. And we love young families. And we're glad you were part of that. What a wonderful thing. Are we willing to continue to learn the lessons in the wilderness that we might truly celebrate all that God is doing in our midst? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love for us. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to walk with us through the ups and downs of life. And Lord, that you would come and assist us in the difficult times of our lives and help us to understand whether it's pain that's been inflicted by us on ourselves or whether it comes from other places, that Lord, there are lessons that we can learn. And Lord, if we spend this time in the wilderness in tune and in touch with you, that, Lord, great things can continue to happen. Help us to rely upon you, to trust you, and to walk with you all along the way. Watch over us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
If y'all want to stand, we're going to sing, It Is Well With My Soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, through trials should come, let this blessed assurance of troll, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. By sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be black as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
As we go from this place, may it truly be well with our souls. The pain of the wilderness may be upon us, but it can be well with our soul. May we go with the joy of the Lord. Amen.